dare to dream, dream, dream. Welcome to the Dare to Dream radio show. I'm your host, Deborah Dashinger. Join me every week as I interview inspiring guests from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds, all parts of the world, who had a dream and found a way to make that dream come true. Listen to this worldwide award-winning radio show every week and learn to dare to dream and make your dreams come true. Sit back and enjoy, and welcome.
You can be anything, a rock star, beauty queen, fly with a broken wing, baby, if you dare to dream, dare to dream, dare to dream. You can have everything, playing on your 12 string, going for the brass ring, baby, if you dare to dream, dare to dream.
Welcome to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger, and I'm thrilled to be with you today. I am going to be talking a little bit about nostalgia here in the beginning and how that applies to us, some of the things we don't do any longer, mostly in society, but most of our hearts actually long for. And in a little bit, I'm going to bring on our guest, Kira Asatrian, and I'm so excited about this conversation because she's an expert at loneliness, which I think is so applicable today, and I could speak to myself. She's going to be telling us simple steps for developing close friendships and deepening relationships, and who doesn't want that? So we can all talk about stop being lonely. What do I do out in the world? Well, several things. If you've got a book and you would like it to become a bestseller, go to mybestsellerbook.com. I have a program done for you where I do all the heavy lifting and create your book and your authorship, frankly, into international best-selling status. I also have radio media mastery classes and VIP private days. I've got amazing clients around the world who work with me so they can become superb at being on air and at messaging themselves, and so much to that package. If you want to sponsor or advertise this show, I welcome you to do so. We've got a huge reach, lots of syndication, and lots of places where this show shows up and lots of people listen. So just contact me on DebbieDashinger.com and I can send you the rate sheet, and we've got great prices. Well, I promise I'm going to be talking about nostalgia. First of all, I want to say, because I've been talking about this, I'm going to probably continue talking about this. I've been taking sommelier classes. This past weekend, I did a Spanish wine specialist class where if I pass the test, I'll become certified in them. And it's just been remarkable to me. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with the teacher. Teachers can have such profound impact either way. So our teacher's phenomenal. But the people in the class, I mean, we're all just really passionate about it, learning history, geography, religion, and then, of course, about the grapes themselves, and there's lots of tasting. So one of the gals, they're very Italian, all the people who teach these classes, and one of the gals is a journalist. She's an Italian journalist for a very high-end Italian magazine, and she's pulling me aside and saying, I know about your radio show. I want to take you out to dinner and talk about maybe talking some wine on your show. So I love that she did enough to find out what this show is about, because she's going to gear it towards inspiration that has to do with wine and creating dreams come true. And what some wine farmers and agriculturists do to create their dreams come true. I love this. So trust me, I'll be wine and dined. And if it's a fit for y'all and we'll really further the show and conversation, we'll start having the amazing Laura on for some spots here and there. And how does it get any better than that? Everything's a beautiful contribution. So call me nostalgic, but sometimes I got to say, I really miss a handwritten letter. I tell you that the few people that I know that does that, the person I know in my life who still does that, is my sister-in-law. And she's so amazing, she taught both her kids, my niece and nephew, to do the same. I send a present anytime, birthday, holiday, whatever. I always get a handwritten thank you note. I got to tell you, dying breed. Same thing with cards. Don't you think like e-cards are kind of like, yeah, okay, that's cool. You thought of me, wah, wah. But when somebody actually sends you a card. So let me get into that, because when, you know, everything old is new again, why not start it up right now? Because our conversation with Kira is going to be about connection. And let me get that started here. Besides handwritten letters, also long-distance phone calls from a landline. I had a landline. Of course, I have to keep mine for radio. How about sing-alongs, you know, old-school kind of things that make people feel connected? I know I'm not alone. Many people yearn for a return to forms of graciousness, kindness, and attention that have gone by the wayside. It's stuff that we so easily can and should do something about. And best of all, you don't even need fancy equipment. So, hey, you can put away that phone, that iPhone, that whatever, smartphone, dumb phone. You don't need it. You just need a heart and a moment and a breath to communicate and connect. It can rock someone's world. It was interesting, you know, usually around Thanksgiving, I'll suddenly get this enormous amount of texts and emails and phone calls from people in my life, colleagues, friends, family, all expressing their great love. But why does it have to only be on a holiday when everyone remembers to have gratitude? What would happen if you did any day? So pick up a pen, write more, text less. Researching actually suggests that writing by hand activates your brain to remember more. Neuroscientist Kelly Lambert, who's a PhD and the author of Lifting Depression, says that it can make you feel good too. And it is one way to activate pleasure, that's through physical effort. So write a letter. Write a letter even for no reason. You can think about people whose day you can make. Can you imagine turning someone's entire day around just because you stopped to write a letter? Parents, an old friend, a child. People love getting letters. And you may be surprised to find that you actually love writing them. You can even reflect on very small pleasures and send it off, and it doesn't have to be long, or it can. What else? Improve your penmanship if you're going to do that. I mean, we want to read your letter when we get it. So just take a moment. Penmanship, it can be an indicator of elegance and individuality. And you can do it. You can do it. Also, personalized stationery. How cool is that? You know, I went to this, crazy red car. I do red carpet events sometimes as a correspondent. And I happened to go to this very high-end event. And when we left, they gave us these gift bags, and I got the most extraordinary Cartier stationery. And I use it. I love writing to somebody on it. And in fact, at the end of the year, when I create, you could call it a bucket list, a list of dreams I'm going to create the next year, the following year, I wrote it on Cartier stationery. Hello. You know, if abundance is part of what I'm creating, it's going on Cartier stationery. So find something beautiful. Or maybe you have a note with your name at the top. That's very personal. And it's like the stationery version of your Sunday best. You can be a promiscuous thanker. Ha-ha. Promiscuous thanker. You can write thank you notes not just for birthday gifts, but for homemade lasagna deliveries, or just to let folks know, hey, I'm grateful for you. Other ideas, maybe write something, a thank you to your favorite client or coworker, doctors, nurses, hospital staff who may have made a difference in caring for you or a loved one. Your children's teachers, caregivers, coaches. My goodness, we all have coaches these days. Let them know what they mean to you. Someone who gave you a gift ages ago that you find yourself still treasuring or using constantly. Rethank that person. Or your favorite anybody. That's right. Bona fide fan mail to writers, actors, singers, radio hosts. Just reach out to him or her and say, hey, your work is good. It's admirable. You know, you're not laboring in a vacuum somewhere. I see you. You're making a difference in my life. There are people out there in the world who will so appreciate knowing that what they do is respected and makes a difference. Yes? So there was a study published in a Journal of Consumer Research which said that as people age, they savor ordinary experiences as much as over-the-top activities. So here's what that means. Get out your cards or a board game or do a puzzle. How fun is that? Simple, easy, get back to basics. Maybe you can ask somebody you know who's older or a different generation, hey, can you teach me embroidery? Can you teach me Yiddish? Can you teach me how to make your famous bolognese sauce? Or maybe you can find somebody that you do a manicure for just because, or make a pot of tea and ask questions about their past and listen. Or maybe there is somebody older and you can say, hey, I can explain to you your phone or your email or your television, because you know, when you're in a different generation, you'll notice that often your parents and grandparents, listen, they don't have quite the same DNA and it can be very confusing. So take a moment to explain or sing show tunes together. Put on the radio and invite them to dance. How fun is that? There's so many other ways we can welcome people. We can take care of the sick. And we all know that's a weird, wonky place. Often we're terrible at it. We're not even sure how to behave, but just sometimes just show up. You don't have to do much. Just show up and be there. Read aloud to your partner. How beautiful is that? To close your eyes and hear the words of a book. I'm an amazing, ravenous reader. So words like that's beautiful. Be a welcome wagon. You know, these days, we bought a place last November and we moved in. We got all this, like, for new homeowner things. It's like direct mail marketing endeavors. But that's like, wah, wah. What about, like, really fresh food and water, going out of your way, dropping off something, a moment of connection? It's really needed now more than ever because it's missing now more than ever. So anything handmade or bought from a bakery or a map with your favorite eateries and playgrounds highlighted or a stack of takeout menus or your name and number. Hey, I'm your neighbor. Hello. Just try to include something a little extra. And you can do that even with a meal, a flower, a small favor, mail, or a get-well card. All these things, there's something in here that's going to resonate with you. There is something very graceful about being unselfish and considerate of others. So think about where you can start to greet people, be more welcoming, and be a yes in your life. This is all about getting back to handwritten letters, long-distance phone calls, sing-alongs, and, you know, those old-school things that make people feel connected. What is yours to do today and this week? Well, as promised, I've got an amazing guest today who's Kira Asatrian. She's a certified relationship coach, author, blogger, loneliness expert, and speaker. Kira speaks publicly on the topic of loneliness, noting that loneliness is a problem of epidemic proportions in our modern times. Kira maintains a private coaching practice in San Francisco, helping business partners, couples, and individuals develop closeness, the antidote to loneliness in their relationships. If you want to know more about her, her websites are stopbeinglonely.com and kiraasatrian.com. The last name is ASATRYAN.com. Kira, welcome to Dare to Dream. It's so great to have you here.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to our conversation on loneliness and how to combat it and heal it. So let's stop with that. You've written a book. It's called Stop Being Lonely. Why did you write the book?
Yeah, so I wrote it because I had really struggled with loneliness kind of my whole life. Even when I was a little kid, I felt it. And my personal loneliest period was in college, and I was so befuddled by that because it seemed like the least likely time that one should be lonely. And I just had always been very fascinated with the subject because I grew up with a good family. I always had friends, more or less, or at least acquaintances. And I kind of felt like that should be enough. But I wanted to kind of speak to it on a deeper level and why just having people in your life might actually not be enough.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing because this is a subject I haven't heard anyone else broach before, but I concur it absolutely exists. And for someone like me who's extremely outgoing, not my entire life, but as an adult, I've been very outgoing. I also was incredibly lonely my first couple of years of college, painfully so, especially mm-hmm. having left home and friends and starting over. And other times in my life, I can say it's been pervasive as a background noise that I have sometimes created over. So let's talk about that, creating over mm-hmm. what actually exists. Is that a phenomenon that people do? There's loneliness, but rather than deal with it, they do other things to make it not be so?
Yeah, I think that, you know, creating busyness is definitely a way that people try to deal with this and try to deal with lots of other, you know, unpleasant human experiences. But the thing about loneliness is that, you know, unlike depression or anxiety, which are, you know, considered diagnosable mental disorders, loneliness is not. And I think because of that, it's much less thought about in our society, and it's less understood, and therefore a lot of people don't really know that that's what they may be feeling when they think they're depressed, for example.
Right, great. So what is loneliness then? What does it mean? Loneliness is not alone, so what is loneliness?
Yeah, well, that's the first thing to understand, is that loneliness and aloneness are not the same thing. I am a tried and true introvert, and I love being alone, you know, when I choose to be. But the difference is that if you're alone and you feel like you are not empowered to change that circumstance if you wanted to, then you will start feeling this subjective feeling of loneliness.
Subjective feeling of loneliness. And mm-hmm. you have said, Kira, this is a quote from you, "I have a unique passion for those who feel lonely in this world."
I do. I feel like there are many, many people who either don't know or feel embarrassed about it. A lot of people have told me since I wrote this book, you know, I so want to read your book, but I'm embarrassed to take it outside with me. It's something that we still, like, are a little ashamed of. And part of why I wrote the book and speak about this topic so much is that I just want to normalize it. It's a normal thing. Everybody feels it from time to time.
And why do you think it's such a problem for everybody nowadays? Why is it this epidemic?
Yeah, so the reason I say it's an epidemic is that it's quite dramatically increased since the 80s. It's people reporting being chronically lonely has increased at least 30% since the 80s. And I think there's a lot of factors. There's been a lot of social changes that have happened in the last couple decades. Living alone is extremely common now, and actually really wasn't at other periods in time. And what I talk about a lot in the book is how technology is kind of influencing the way we interact with one another, sometimes in a not positive way.
Oh, hear, hear. I can attest to that. You know, and you hear people talking about something I was frustrated a million years ago when cell phones first came to be, that you'd go to dinner and you'd look across the room and see people and they're sitting across from one another, and instead of connecting and conversing, they're whatever they are doing on their phone. That is so weird to me. I've always thought, turn off the phone, leave it while you're having a meal with somebody. It's an amazing time you have to connect and create relationship and deepen intimacy. Why do you think people are relying so much? Is it because they see everybody else doing it? Mm-hmm. Is it really the way, like, DNA-wise, younger people are set up? Or what's happening that's creating that?
Yeah, younger people for sure are more acclimated to it. And, you know, and when you see everybody who's like you with doing certain behaviors, it feels normal. So that's surely part of it for, like, I would say the millennial generation. But the other thing is that we've come to expect this always on, always connected thing where, you know, sometimes when people are looking at their phones, they're checking work, they're checking their email, we expect people to be available to us all the time now. And it's becoming a bit much, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I have to say, I loved when email was created. It was like, woohoo, you know, I couldn't wait to hear from people. And it was always fun, or it was a group of my friends, and we'd all be writing to each other. you know, maybe I was dating and I couldn't wait to hear from some guy. And there was this level of anticipation and joy about it. Now it's become what paper used to be, where it was like, oh, you know, you saw an inbox full of stuff you didn't want to deal with, and it was overwhelming. So email, electronic mail is what it stands for, was created. But it hasn't done what it was set out to do. For me, it's just more arduous, just yet another thing to check and follow up on. And I get thousands of them a day. So, you know, sometimes the checking is like a chore, right?
I think a lot of people feel totally overwhelmed by their inbox. And in a world where, like, I think a lot of us just feel overwhelmed in general, it's compounding a bigger, you know, social issue that's going on right now.
So your job out in the world, you do many things, but right now I will talk about specifically you being a coach and how that shows up, because I know one of the things you're gifted at is for relationships that are bad, or helping people for relationships to become good. Can you talk about some of the qualities that you've seen as an expert that create a not so great or a bad relationship?
That's a great question. I mostly, when I'm doing coaching, I mostly work with couples. And I try very hard to get them as early as possible. I love people who are like not even married yet, because they're already working on their relationships before, you know, anything goes sour. The main thing, well, there's lots of things. First of all, there's lots of things that can create problems in relationships. But one of the very, very big ones is not being able to take personal responsibility. If one partner just will not accept responsibility for part of what's going on in the relationship, it's really hard to overcome that.
Okay. How does that show up, not taking responsibility for what's going on in a relationship?
Yeah, it often shows up in that. Do you know that kind of, there's a marriage colloquialism, I'll call it, that says you can be right or you can be happy.
Right.
And it's those people who really, really want to be right. They want to be right at the expense of the happiness of the other person and of the relationship as a whole.
I love that. You can be right or you can be happy. I have heard that before, but in this context, it's pretty powerful. And I want people to have a real understanding, because you really do a lot. You are a serious writer. I love meeting real writers. And to that extent, you're also a serious blogger. You're in Self, Elite Daily, The Huffington Post, Yahoo News, Your Tango, Medium, Psychology Today, Time, Psych Central, Quarterly? Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's a millennial women's blog. Yeah.
That's adorable. And your book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and IndieBound. And again, that's called Stop Being Lonely. So because you are this real writer and you really are connected in a way, I'm sure people write you back and have that sense of connection. So I know in your blogging and the things you talk about, you say, hey, the answer to loneliness is more closeness.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, that's not easy for everybody. What does that mean? Really, what does that look like or feel like, more closeness?
Yeah, so my definition of closeness is direct access to another person's inner world. And by inner world, I mean their habits, their preferences, their needs, their values, what motivates them. So it's the things that really make someone who they are, their core selves. And when you understand what that core self is about and you express caring for it and interest in it, then it creates this feeling that I call closeness, that's as the antidote to loneliness.
And is there a distinction between love and closeness, or a distinction between intimacy and closeness?
Yeah, I think there is. The intimacy thing is interesting to me, because I think some of that is semantic, but I chose to not use the word intimacy just because I can't unwrangle it from sex in my own mind. And I wanted a word that that could be applied to like family relationships and friendships. And then when it comes to love, you know, to me personally, love is a bit more mysterious and magical than we give it credit for. We can love people before they're born. We can love people after they die. But that's a different experience than this, you know, nobody gets me loneliness that a lot of us feel.
That's an interesting one. Nobody gets me loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Before we go to break, I really want to leave people with something so they can start reflecting right now. If somebody wants to feel less lonely, what could they do? What suggestions or tips do you have that right now they can implement to feel less lonely?
Mm-hmm. A really, really quick little exercise that people can do is just make two lists. In their mind is fine. The first one would be, who knows me well? And then the second one would be, who do I believe cares about me?
Wow.
And just start with those, and then that's a place to build from that we can talk more about it.
So who knows me well is one list, and who do I believe
cares about me? Yeah.
And can I ask you, in general, how many names tend to show up? Is it a large list for most people, or is it actually quite short?
It's usually quite short. It's unusual for anybody to put more than five names on each one of those lists.
Okay. And so if you're going to do this list during our break, don't feel weird or wonky if you even have less than five. Or if you have more, if you can put even one there, that's awesome. And if it's a puppy or a kitty, that's fine too, because they probably know you well and care about you as well. Well, we are going to be talking more with Kira Satrion when we come back about relationships, technology, loneliness, businesses, and loneliness, practical tips. So you're going to want to stay with us with more, and we will be right back.
Dare to dream, dream, dream.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question, always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? BeingYouClass.com.
Isn't it time to stop the frustration and excuses and instead create a life that you love? Introducing the magic of creating your dreams. Go to DebbieDashinger.com and click on products. In the magic of creating your dreams, Debbie shares effective, easy-to-apply tools to change the course of your life in miraculous ways. With these powerful tools, you can finally achieve your dreams. DebbieDashinger.com, the magic of creating your dreams.
What if you really do change molecules by your interaction with them? What if the change you've been looking for is right before your eyes? What if the uncomfortableness that comes with difference could be fun? What if the closed-minded people of the world no longer determined our world? What if gratitude trumps judgment every time? What if your kindness healed the world? What if the earth is asking for your help? And what if you had the resources to give it? This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Picasso, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Aristotle all knew to be true. Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. What if there are no dumb questions, or any question too large? What if you being you are the gift and the change this world requires? Is now the time? For more questions to create a change in your world, sign up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. My gift to you, beingyouclass.com.
What if you were willing to nurture and care for you? What if you could open the doors to being everything you have decided is not possible to be? Have you always known you're different from the people around you? If you've been seeking something else is possible. To receive more on Access Consciousness, go to tinyurl.com/access change. Is this the change you've been looking for? tinyurl.com/access change.
MyBestsellerBook.com. The bestseller launch program team has long-term client credibility and 100% success in creating international best-selling books. Your book will become a U.S. or international Amazon bestseller guaranteed. You will get published and you keep all the royalties, even if your book is already published. Your book will be promoted to over 1 million of our global following. You'll be provided comprehensive reports, including hourly bestseller proofs during your launch. And you'll have book press releases and radio interviews and everything to create a tsunami of interest and knowledge about you as a writer and for your book. Are you ready to become a bestseller? Well, the Guaranteed International Bestseller is available for you at MyBestsellerBook.com. What a great investment. MyBestsellerBook.com.
Only a few will take a chance.
There's my boy in a bucket in the backyard under the sun. Got his head down, looking in the water just to see what he'll find. It won't take too long till he's off to search for somebody else. I'm gonna pay close attention to the moment just to see for myself. I'm not waiting for the time to be right. I'm gonna give that boy my life like I want it for myself. I can't go back to where I've never been. There's always a choice, I'm choosing him. I'm so happy with my baby boy, and my wife, she brings me love and joy. I'm so grateful, grateful I am.
So grateful indeed. That is the amazing Jamie Lula, who I heard sing at Agape once. He blew my heart into pieces in the best way. I was so amazed by his talent, and I had to run up to him and say, dude, I'd love to feature you on the radio. And he was so gracious to send me all his stuff. So that's Jamie Lula, and he's got a lot of music out there that you can enjoy. And an amazing rendition, by the way, of the song Imagine, too. Well, we're back. This is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream Radio, and you're listening to Dare to Dream. You can join me after the show, by the way, at Debbie Dashinger, DACHINGER.com, or Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. I'm interviewing Kira Asatrian, and her website is KiraAsatrian.com. Before we took a break, Kira was telling us one of the ways she suggests for us to feel less lonely is to write lists. One list is, who knows me well, and write the names. And the next list is, who do I believe cares about me, and write that list. So, Kira, take us from there. What else happens with this list, or can we do?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing that I find interesting about that exercise is that you may notice that it's not always the same people on both lists. Mm. But those tend to be the people who you have already started creating some closeness with, you know, and have a somewhat of a close relationship with them. So I see those people as your opportunities to start having some of these very close relationships that are very productive and meaningful in people's lives. And if you have nobody on your list, I will say, it's not the end of the world. There are ways to meet people who will eventually go on those lists.
I love that you said that.
Yeah.
And I sometimes think, I'd love you to weigh in. I think that sometimes saying no to a lot of people is a great way to create the opportunity you're talking about, because there are a lot of people out there who are not worthy of my time or friendship. I've learned that. And I've learned that the more I say no, the more I create a huge yes in my life for the right people who will value me and treat me, you know, the way I want to be treated and have a relationship of depth, but also of humor and sharing and values. And I, today, I think because of all the no's I've put out in the world, I've created an amazing tribe of people. Like, I'm so proud of who I'm friends with. So what do you think about that? Or how would you say we can invite in those who belong with us?
Yeah, I totally agree. First of all, you know, not everybody's going to be really ready for these types of relationships, just within themselves emotionally. They may not be there yet. And I think there are ways to sort of vet people for the capacity to create this kind of closeness. And then I would also say that, you know, if you have a lot of close relationships, some people need more than others and feel happy having more than others, but at a certain point it does become like diminishing returns because, you know, these types of relationships do take some energy and effort to maintain. And if you're doing it with a whole bunch of people, then you can really spread yourself thin.
God, that's so true. Yeah. I have a lot of opportunities, especially because I'm out there so much, workshops and media and galas and whatever. And it's wonderful, you know, and I feel very blessed by that. At the same time, I have to be judicious on some level. Sometimes I wonder, gosh, am I missing out? Am I missing out on a friendship that could be? But there's a lot of times I have to look at what time do I really have available and who and what am I willing to invest it in
yeah.
in the long term.
Yeah, and if those people listen to your show, they probably feel like they know you already and are like already in relationship with you, even though they're not.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very interesting. And also, you know, you get to know different coaches or other people, transformational people working, you know, at high levels. And you also feel like you know them. And mm-hmm. it's very interesting to meet in person. And some of those click. Some of them really click well. And some of them are like, just not today, you know.
Yeah.
And so let's segue that, because that is an interesting conversation as well. Because we're talking right now about relationships and intimacy and closeness. What about business relationships? Because mm-hmm. you're an expert there as well. Do people feel lonely in business, and how do you help them?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. So I, before becoming a relationship coach, I was part of startup world. I live in San Francisco and worked at startups for many, many years. And one thing that I knew about startups just from being a part of them is that people become friends very easily in that environment. And part of when I started researching this book, I wanted to understand was, why is that happening in those environments? And actually I found a lot of studies that have come out recently that basically say teams work better together, work teams work better together when the team members like discussing things outside of work. So essentially when team members enjoy talking about their personal lives with one another.
That's so interesting. It's really interesting to me. I used to, because I wasn't always doing what I loved to do in a job, I would not really want to spend time with people.
Yeah.
And I realized once, I remember I went out to lunch with a bunch of people. Of course, this is decades ago, but I went out to lunch with the people I work with, and I suddenly realized coming back to work, our entire relationships had changed. There was now a connection that didn't exist before. So I had this whole mantra I used to tell myself about the importance of breaking bread with people. And when you do that, you take your relationship to a whole new level.
Absolutely. And there's also, you know, I've always found it to be that we know that our romantic relationships matter. We know that our family relationships matter. Most people know their friendships matter, but the work relationships were really like the last rung. But the fact of the matter is that a lot of adults spend most of their time with those people, or a lot of their time. So why can't those relationships be important as well?
That's very true. It is an enormous amount of time spent at business. So with the people you see, you coach, and having been in that world, what would you say people can do to accelerate their business? What if they don't have that factor? Like, mm-hmm. I might not want to talk to you outside of here or have much in common. What else can they do?
Yeah, it's not going to happen for everybody. Not everybody in a business is going to be on board with this. They're going to want to go to work and then go home, and they get their intimate relationships from their home life. So allowing for that is important, you know, if you're a manager or somebody in a leadership position. But in general, encouraging people to connect outside of work and about topics outside of work is actually very productive for their time in the office. Yeah.
So if there's managers listening, know that if you hear your employees talking in that way, it is productive. And it's actually probably good for your business.
That's really the takeaway. Is it, if you hear chatter about, if you hear like giggling, you know, about stuff that has nothing to do with the project, it's actually good.
Promote it. Let them do it. What a great work benefit, right?
Yeah.
Not just the coffee and the dry cleaning and, you know, the child care, but it is all about sometimes having fun and connection. Frankly, for me, that would be everything, to go to a job and have fun and connection. Who wouldn't want to show up? So I love this, because if there are people in leadership positions, I hope maybe you're seeing something through a new lens that you can take back to the workplace and change it for your employees, so they enjoy coming to work and want to be there and continue to be a contribution, and maybe even encouraged to be more so. When we come back, we are going to be talking about the number one way that we may be antagonizing our partner without knowing it, and just some statistics from Kira's website and work. The average American has only 2.08 people with whom they feel they can discuss matters of importance. This number has dropped by almost a third since 1985. And according to the American Sociological Review survey, people said they had no one to talk to about matters of importance. And that's more than doubled to 25% of people. And another study found that 35% of adults over the age of 45 were chronically lonely, as opposed to the only 20% in the 1980s. There are even more statistics on her website. I suggest you go there and look. This is seriously an epidemic, and we're going to continue talking about it when we come back.
Dare to dream, dream, dream.
Do you have a published book that never reached its bestseller potential? Are you working on a book or ebook you hope to publish soon? Do you have a book locked inside of you, waiting to release your message to the world? Well, Debbie will launch your book to guaranteed bestseller rating. Go to mybestsellerbook.com. If you desire for your book to be a bestseller, go to mybestsellerbook.com.
Are you ready to work with a leader whose clients get results? Debbie Dashinger believes you were born with a unique gift. She leads exceptional teleseminar classes and consults leaders and executives to go beyond obstacles and limits. Clients worldwide receive accelerated results and are catapulted into spectacular successes. For an appointment, go to www.debbiedashinger.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
You want to be whole?
That's Michael Bernard Beckwith, the most amazing from Agape, of course, and The Secret and many other things. I had the pleasure of talking to him again just last weekend at a red carpet event. He's also been on the show, by the way, so check out Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith. And if you're tuning in after we started, this is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream Radio. I'm interviewing Kira Asatrian, who is a certified relationship coach, certified professional coach, and certified conflict mediator, as well as a very popular blogger on many, many sites. So, I promise this question, and let's find out, because I'm intrigued, Kira, what is the number one way that we could be antagonizing our partner and not even know we're doing it?
Well, I wrote a piece for Psychology Today that was about this very topic. So the one big thing that a lot of people do, it's pretty well known in, you know, people who are into relationships know that you can very much antagonize your partner by being emotionally dismissive. Essentially thinking that somebody should be over something faster than they just actually are over it. I'm not a therapist, but in the therapy world, it would be called, you know, making somebody heal faster than they can.
Let me just ask you a little clarification here.
Sure.
When you say get over something, do you mean a fight or the passing of somebody or the loss of a job or all of the above?
I would say all of the above, but the number one when it comes to couples, like romantic couples, is the hurt caused by some kind of conflict within the relationship.
So get over it. Why aren't you over it already? Why are you still harping on it? It's like, I'm not healed yet.
Yeah. Or it's we're going to move on now. You know, when it's said in a declarative way, regardless of whether or not the other person is ready to move on, that can add an extra hurt onto the original hurt.
Ah. Okay, great. And then keep going, because you were on a path here.
Oh, I'm not sure if I know what I was going to say.
Okay, lost that train of thought. Well, let's see if the train comes back, and if not, we'll go to a different depot. But basically, the number one ways that we antagonize our partner without even realizing it is a situation comes up in the relationship, and one partner is still going through something, and the other partner says, hey, we're moving on here. I'm done.
Right.
And so what can we do instead? Because I've been there. I actually know what you're talking about, and that sucks. It's really quite awful, and it's so disacknowledging of someone else's process or what they need to actually get there.
Yeah.
So what can we do instead to create something positive? Because I feel like every time you talk about something like this, Kira, I am seeing the intimate repercussions between a relationship, but I'm also seeing the global repercussions. I mean, they say, let peace begin with you in the world. And it's so true if we're not even honoring of our own relationships. So we want intimacy, we say, we want closeness, but we're doing this other behavior. What can we do instead?
Yeah, it's challenging to do in real life. But the solution to that situation is just to hold it really loosely. And what I mean by that is if somebody needs to process something for much longer than you would like them to, they just have to. And just hold that loosely and allow it to be what it is.
Hold that loosely and allow it to be just what it is. Wow. Nice. And you provide coaching services for all kinds of relationships. You help couples, business partners, lonely individuals. Who are the people who come to see you? Who should reach out to coach with you?
Mm-hmm. Right now, it's mostly couples. I love working with lonely individuals and helping them either find their close relationships or make existing relationships closer. And then I don't do a lot of business anymore, but I used to do. I used to coach startup founders, so founding teams of businesses. If anybody's ever started a business, it's like a marriage.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, you're spending more time with them often than you do with your family or outside relationships.
Right.
And what about results or success stories? Is there a coaching success story you can share?
Oh, wow. You know, I don't give a lot of details, to be honest, just for confidentiality's sake. But one of my
favorite, just give us their initials.
Well, one of my favorite ones was the first time. So when I first started coaching couples, I did, it was just couples who were dating. Some of them were living together. And the first time one of them got engaged and then came in and the two of them were engaged and excited about it. That warmed my heart for sure.
Wow. That's a nice jump. I like that.
Yeah.
So you are a writer, you're an avid popular blogger. Where does your inspiration to write come from?
Actually, my dad is a writer, so that's something. He writes about creativity. So, and always has. I grew up with that influence, so I'm sure that's part of it. And then the loneliness and relationship stuff is just a core interest of mine. I've been interested in it since I was a little kid.
Well, this is Dare to Dream. Kira, what are you next, Dare to Dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
Wow. What do I dare to dream? I know I have another book in me. That one will be about marriage specifically, and I'm very excited about that one.
Well, thank you. Then I can't wait to see that become manifest and come to fruition. Kira, thank you so much for inspiring us and teaching us more about closeness and connection on Dare to Dream.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
Yeah, it was really great. And if you want to know more about Kira and her work, go to stopbeinglonely.com. And I end today's show with this quote from Paul Johannes Tillich, who says, "Language has created the word loneliness to express the pain of being alone, and it has created the word solitude to express the glory of being alone." If you're interested in classes on media mastery training to become the best at radio interviews and also creating your book into a guaranteed bestseller, go to mybestsellerbook.com as well as debbiedashinger.com. Thank you for joining me on the show today. And remember, the secret of success is having the courage to begin in the first place.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbiedashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to debbiedashinger.com. That's www.debbiedashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products, sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. Easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if